G'day and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show as we get set for a big Anzac round of action. Today we chat about Freo's worst losses, a very bold North Melbourne prediction, and some of the very best sporting names you'll ever hear. All right, let's get stuck in. It is the Hardball Gets AFL show, the Quick Nine edition, and we've actually got nine games to talk about this week, gentlemen. My name's Chris Robinson, joined by Jackson Barrett and Jake Colvin. How are we doing today, guys?
Hello, Robbo. Good. I mean, Jake and I have both had pretty flattening weekends, I think, on a footy front.
I'd say you more so than me.
Some very underwhelming performances from Port Adelaide and Freo, it needs to be said.
Freo, much worse.
How many straight goals did Port give up?
Mate, I haven't watched a second of the replay. I haven't watched a second of the game, actually, funnily enough. I was
diehard supporter of Jake Colvin over
footy,
here.
My own footy all day on Saturday. We had a long day at the footy clubs. I've only watched like little snippets of the game.
And watch it back. I think you'll really enjoy it.
It's not one I really want to watch back, I don't think. But when someone said to me that they're up by like six goals in the first quarter, I was like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe I tipped Collingwood. And then check the score at 5:30 end of the day.
That's why I tipped Collingwood.
That's why. But I would say, Jacko, I was just saying this before, what do you reckon's worse, the North Melbourne loss in round two or three last year, or this West Coast loss for you?
Nah, the North loss, because there was so much optimism at the start of last year. So that was pretty grim. This one, it's been a frustrating few weeks to be a Dockers fan.
I'd say the optimism was probably just as high with the fact that you got within a goal of Carlton and Port Adelaide. And you'd started the season pretty well.
Yeah, but Freo were tipped.
Or you're coming off like a fifth place.
Top four last season. And the North loss, that sucked. The weekend sucked, like bad.
Were you at the game?
Yeah, I was working. So strictly professional.
Just a puddle of tears developed next to me in the press box.
One unnamed journalist gave it a double fist pump when Harley Reid took the first of his marks in the goal square.
Were his initials MW by chance?
No. Not our favourite Glendinning Allen medalist voter. I was pretty flat, yeah. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've sat at a game in a work sense and just been so like, oh, yuck. Actually, Robbo said to me, when was it? Jeremy Sharp kicked that running goal at the start of the third.
Yep.
And Robbo turned to me and said, oh, I've got your boys from here.
No, it was a little bit after that. I think it was Sharp again. He sort of hit up, it might have been Banfield for a set shot. That he should have kicked.
Got
it back to 19 or 25 or something. I was like, reckon you guys, if you can keep it close, you can roll West Coast.
I felt the
last.
Same. And then I think Jack Darling kicked the next goal and I was still kind of like, oh, that one hurts. But I reckon we're still on here. And then after that Darling goal, it was just floodgates. And Marek kicked that goal in the three-quarter time siren and Optus just went ballistic.
Mate, how was Marek's kicking on Saturday?
Up the ground, really good.
He was kicking lasers all over the shop. But I think the one thing for me watching that game, we were again at the footy club and all the young kids were divided between Freo and West Coast, and every time Harley Reid went within 10 metres of the footy, it was pandemonium. But they just looked like they were having a lot of fun out there, Eagles. Like actually, for the first time in as long as I can remember, they were like enjoying playing football, and obviously winning's a lot more fun than losing, and they've had a lot of heavy losses over the last few years. But it just like every time someone did something, it was like the crowd was just like enveloped everything that they did, even if it was a spoil, tackle, anything. It was actually very pleasing to see. It almost like as a footy neutral, if you were a neutral footy supporter in that game, which I was, it was actually like almost put a smile on your face just to see that they were out of the sort of the doldrums of what they've happened to them over the last sort of 4 years.
Mate, the crowd was epic. Those Harley Reid moments, the Marek goal, the siren, they were unbelievable. I don't think we've heard Optus like that since the 2022 elimination final.
The Freo comeback.
Like when Freo started sort of marching and the Freddie rundown tackle and the Amos goal at halftime and stuff. We haven't heard Optus that loud since then, and not many times between 2018 and now either. It was really, really cool.
Now, boys, before we get into it, I'm a little bit flat as well because I was having a look earlier. I was watching a bit of ESPN last night. The NFL draft is this week, right? So as much as I love the AFL, as much as I love footy, I'm so jealous of some of the names that we get in the NFL draft. They are just such epic names. I'm talking about actual just guys' names, which are so good. Like compared to our, you know, Harley Reid, Nick Watson, very garden variety names. So I've got a list of the top five names of guys who are projected to go in the first or second round in the NFL draft. This, I'll just run you through these top five. You ready? This is just what I've put together. Tavondre Sweat. Sweat spelled like sweat.
Yeah.
Ennis Rakestraw Jr. Chop Robinson. Always good to see another C. Robinson running around, but his first name is Chop. Ladd McConkey. These are all real names. I'm not making any of these up. Ladd McConkey, and the best one of all, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
That can't be real.
So Kool-Aid McKinstry. Okay, so he was called, his Kool-Aid's one of those ones where it's the nicknames become your first name because he had a smile like the Kool-Aid guy. But his real first name is Gaquincy. Spelt, hang on, let me get you the spelling. G-A-apostrophe-Q-U-I-N-C-Y. So the traditional spelling of Gaquincy. So his real name is Gaquincy McKinstry. I can't even say that.
There's even a, that is there's a better one. I don't know whether he's in the NFL draft. It's like Dakoldus Crawford, like the coldest. And then he's in, his nickname is To Ever Do It. So Dakoldus To Ever Do It Crawford.
So good. I'm so jealous of these names.
And then pick one will probably be Caleb Williams.
Yeah, well, that's fine. So, yeah, didn't have to mention that.
We had a Phoenix at the AFL draft. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's two Phoenixes.
But that's not even the same league as some of these guys.
It's about as good as it got.
Ladd McConkey. What a name.
Do we have a favourite AFL name? I quite like Colby McKercher. That rolls off the tongue.
Does it roll off the tongue?
I think so. Colby McKercher.
No, there's not much.
Phoenix Spicer is not a bad name.
Phoenix Spicer is good. But yeah, can't hold a candle to some of those guys. All right, should we get into the games?
We should.
Okay, so real early start this week, obviously, which is why we're recording so early. Richmond against Melbourne, the Anzac Eve game. So we've got the teams for this one. So Sam Naismith comes in alongside Nank just to give a bit of support up against Max Gawn. Obviously, Jacob Hopper, a much-needed midfield boost for the Tigers. And then from Melbourne side of things, Cozzy comes back. Ben Brown's out. We're still trying to figure out whether Ben Brown's in Melbourne's best side or not. And obviously they're trying to figure it out as well. Can you make the case for the Tigers here, or should this be a classic Melbourne bank the 4 points?
No, I think that West Coast game showed that kind of the plucky days of the Tigers this season might be done, and the injuries have just got on top of them. It'd be interesting to see how the two rucks work and what it does to their forward line as well, because I think the problem with Naismith and Nank, the idea of having someone fresh to go in and face Gawn and a bit of support around the ground is great, but what do either of them offer
it robs you elsewhere.
In the forward half, I think will be their problem. So having one of them stationed behind the ball is nice, particularly Nank. It might help them around the ball a little bit, but I think other teams would more just be looking to rove to Gawn, wouldn't they? And I don't know. I feel like they've probably robbed themselves around the ground a little bit.
Well, Nank's a really competitive ruck. I think he's probably the more underrated rucks, I think, in the AFL. He tackles really well, always competes, never gets beaten comprehensively. So I'm kind of the same opinion there. But Kaczynski was doing some chop-out relief work, but he hasn't really come on for Richmond. And I think a lot of Hawthorn supporters sort of knew what Richmond were getting in Kaczynski, and he hasn't really lit the world on fire. And I think Richmond were really hoping that he'd be something for them in the front half, but that hasn't been so far. But you'd think Melbourne should take care of this pretty easily with not much panic.
So Kaczynski's been dropped, and Tyler Sonsi's been dropped.
That was an eyebrow raiser, Sonsi.
You've got to play Sonsi.
Yeah. Just play the kids. I've got Melbourne by heaps.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. And then obviously the big one of the weekend when it comes to spectacle and event, Collingwood Essendon. So this is a real gut check time for Essendon, right? So they're up and about. Jake, you want to say something off the top here?
No, Essendon just frustrated. Like, just more so the commentary around Essendon, okay? So all the...
Don't think it's for real this time?
It's like Tim Watson or one of... It might not have been Tim Watson. It was one of the SEN guys just like, I love the way Essendon are going about it. A week later when they got belted by Port, they were saying the complete opposite about how like basically how gutless they were. There's no like that. Where's the Essendon edge? Like they're frauds and all this sort of stuff.
Sure.
And then they scrape over line against Adelaide, who again it's Adelaide Crows who are going not well at all, and they've gone on what like 3 points, 4 points or whatever.
They left the door open for them
as well. It just made me think like how can you flip the script after one week of having such a shocking performance against one team and then scraping through against another? That can't be like the premise for you thinking, oh, you love the way Essendon are going about it. I'd hate the way Essendon are going about it because it's just Jekyll and Hyde every single week.
The Herald Sun ran a story this week, 17 reasons why Essendon are back, or Essendon are the real deal or something, and it was almost a year to the day that they wrote, here are the reasons Essendon can break their finals drought. I think it's you just got to sit on your hands a little bit with Essendon. It's just, like you spoke about, Jay, it's just so volatile. We still don't quite know. They're chopping and changing still. We don't quite know what they are. They could drop Draper after all, you know, he's at the eye of the storm on Friday night. He could now be dropped for Wright to come back in. I don't think they know what they are week to week, and we certainly don't. And they're relying on flash in the pan performances from different guys each week.
Parrish is nowhere near what he should be either. So I don't know. Collingwood by like 5 goals for me, I think, on their back.
Yeah, okay. I'd take a good hard look if Essendon win this, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, past 4 Anzac Day games decided by 4 goals or fewer. So hopefully we get another good game. I'm also taking the Magpies in a close one.
For the medal? Dusty
Parrish in the losing side for the medal? Absolutely. Thank it. GWS against Brisbane. So this is an Anzac Day night game, if that makes any sort of sense. Looks like a really good fixture. Obviously, the headline act here is no Toby Green, which is a massive test for the Giants. So I went back and had a look. The Giants, without Toby Green, they've lost 9 of their past 10 when Toby Green hasn't played, including their last 6.
Okay, that's a massive start.
So that is big in terms of, obviously, we know what he brings to the forward line, but then leadership and, you know, puffing the chest out and all those intangible qualities when he's there. Does that make Brisbane slight favourites in your eyes, Jacko?
I've got GWS slight favourites still. I didn't know that stat coming in, I'll be honest with you, but I thought it looked as if Brisbane were probably outcoached a little bit in the wet on Saturday night, and I'm still just not quite sold on them with some of their inconsistencies. Whereas GWS, I think they showed enough against Carlton to know that they're going to make things work without Sam Taylor. Mm-hmm. So I'm still chips in on GWS for the meantime.
Well, Brizzy wouldn't have played that many games at over the years. I can't imagine.
I think they played there last year, but GWS played pretty well from memory.
Yeah, well, Brisbane, again, it's one of those venues that they'd play once in a blue moon for the Lions. So I don't know. I think GWS should get the job done. I wouldn't say comfortably because Brisbane could still rock up, but just Brisbane just... You don't have the faith in tipping Brisbane.
How would you know with Brisbane at the moment?
And that's the same thing with, goes back to like Essendon and a few of these other teams, like Port Adelaide's a few of them, where you don't just have the faith going like, you know that they'll put up a good fight because they could easily not. That's the kind of season they're having at the moment. So I think GWS, they have shown a relatively consistent run of form.
Definitely,
where you'd think that they would be the team to beat. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Fagan pulls something out of the hat and they do. You know, it could pinch victory, but I think GWS should win by a few goals, I think.
Yeah, I'm happy to take Brisbane here, and I say that knowing that I've probably tipped Brisbane right probably once in their 6 games, I reckon, which was that North Melbourne one that they had to bank. But yeah, no Taylor and no Green, literally their two most important players, just starts to make me a little bit nervous. So I'm taking the Lions there. Port Adelaide hosting St Kilda. So St Kilda... I know Ross Lyon sort of put this on the agenda as far as their schedule, but it has been a little bit rough. So their past few, they've played at Docklands in Melbourne, Norwood Oval in Adelaide, then to Manuka in Canberra, back to Docklands, and now they're in Adelaide again with a couple of short breaks thrown in there as well. So I know that's pretty par for the course for interstate clubs, obviously, but with a side like St Kilda, I feel like that's going to start to take a toll, right?
Yeah, I think so. And thanks for throwing me the Port game. It was very kind of you.
That's okay.
I don't think he did throw it to you.
No,
take it.
He looked at me. We'll see it back in the footage. I think
chop that up.
The thing with Port, I said I haven't watched back the whole game. I've only seen snippets. But the only positives I can take out of that Collingwood game is the fact that they did get up by 5 or 6 goals, and it shows that they can play a brand that can compete with the best teams on the MCG. They don't play there too often. I think these two coaches, Ken and Ross, they're very, very much maligned when it goes bad, but when it goes well, they get praised. So I think Port should take care of St Kilda by at least sort of around that three or four goal mark, I would think. But St Kilda was so bad against Bulldogs that, like, is it a bridge too far for them to compete against these top-level teams this year, do you think? I mean, do you think they're just going to be sort of, well, they call Ken Hinckley bottom 10 Ken because he only seems to beat. But it's the same thing. It could be the same thing with Ross as well. So I'd like to think Port Adelaide will bounce back because I still have aspirations that they're going to compete this year. But I think it could be one of those Ross masterclasses this week where he just makes it
I'm the complete opposite. Yeah.
I've got a feeling about Ross this week.
This for me is tired and banged up Saints. Port looking for a bit of an easier kill back home. I feel like this might blow out. Jacko, your thoughts?
Yeah, I worry about what the Saints have got supporting Jack Steele in the midfield. The fact that he's had to use Josh Battle, bit of Hugo Garcia. It's a one pace, pretty bland midfield. They're not moving the ball the way they've set up to. And I think Port get it done, 5 or 6 goals.
North Melbourne and Adelaide. Jake, I'm throwing straight back to you because you've got a really good feeling about North Melbourne here, which is not a sentence that anyone says too often in the past few years. What are you thinking about the Kangas in Hobart here?
I don't want people to aggregate this. I'm not saying North Melbourne are certainties to win.
Absolute certainties, but Jake Colvin.
Again, Adelaide aren't going well. I think that's no surprise to anyone currently.
North Melbourne are also not going well.
Shockingly, they're not going well either. But is this not one of those games? Is it at Blundstone Arena? Does funny things to teams. Okay,
they makes you throw away Harley
makes
Reid.
You throw
if
away
if
Harley
North
Reid
Melbourne in round
really
24
well.
Last year.
The last 10 years at Blundstone Arena, and to be fair, probably 5 of those 10 years North Melbourne's been really bad. The other 5, they were competitive at certain stages as well in the last decade. But they've played 29 games there and they've won 15 of them. So they've won over half their games at Blundstone Arena. And I don't think many times North Melbourne have been blown out of the water at Blundstone. Adelaide have only played 3 games there in the last 10 years and they've been pretty good over the last decade. Adelaide, they've had a couple of years where they haven't been so much, but they've won 1, lost 2. So you can't really read in too much of that. But I just think this could be one of those weeks where Clarko, North Melbourne are under the blowtorch every single week is how poor. I think they're getting into areas of, you know, World War II teams of like records about how bad they are going.
We're looking at the same numbers we were looking at for West Coast last year.
And like, I think Bailey Scott's win percentage is like 9% and Tom Powers is like 11% or something ridiculous since they've been there. But I've just got this feeling that this week at Blundstone Arena, it could be the perfect storm where North Melbourne actually show something, whether that means they win or not, but it could be closer. Like I'll go through the bets a bit later, but the line's quite large.
Okay.
And I think this could be one where Clarko just does
so
a few things.
So you're backing in the master coaches this week.
I'm backing in a few of the pedigree.
Okay. Jacko, thoughts?
I can't get around it.
No, neither can
Adelaide.
I can't go with you at all.
Do you just want me to say every single game that, you know, the favourite should win?
No,
I'm trying to provide
contrarian point of view.
Thank you.
But then Jacko and I are here to just Brent snap everyone back to reality and say Adelaide win this by 5+ goals.
Down the line. I think, 6 or 7 goals for the Crows.
Okay.
This isn't like an Adelaide bounce back game or anything. It's just one that where they're a better side.
Okay.
I reckon they might go in for the kill just quietly. Geelong and Carlton, game of the round. So the Anzac Day, obviously the biggest spectacle. This is easily the game of the round. So a combined 1 loss between these two teams and it was by a kick. Jacko, shape this one up for us. Are we finally going to see the Cats get done? I mean, this is a real litmus test for Carlton here.
It is. I think the Tom Stewart, I would have liked to have seen the 2K forwards deal with Tom Stewart because they've done that really well.
It's a big out.
It is a big out. They have been able to shut down aerial presence of guys at times this year. But even Lee Kalia had a decent impact last week at times. Tom Stewart's a really big out. The Cats used Zach Guthrie in that role, but I felt like they could sort of get away with it where it was just like this wet weather game, like dump it out of the contest, just have a guy sitting behind the ball. I think you need a bit more than just a guy there to mop that stuff up. So I think Stewart's going to be a really big out. There'll be a fair bit of weight on Jack Henry, I would have thought. And it's all about with Carlton, I guess, is separating the forwards. Like Freo did that day, they handled them pretty well and just create one-on-ones. So I think that'll be the key for Geelong. I'm loving everything else they're doing, though. Like clearly this forward line is getting there with Hawkins and Cameron. They got that rest into them a couple of weeks ago, which I think is handy. Danger's been really good in midfield. I think Carlton are probably the third best team in the competition at the moment.
Well, their midfield's starting to click at the moment, which I think could be pending.
Does Chera come back this week or no?
I don't think he's another week.
I think he's one more week. Right. But this is the week, I think, like Sam Walsh has been phenomenal since he's come back, and Cripps had a fantastic game against the Giants. But this is probably the game where Geelong's midfield's probably been touted as one of their main weaknesses, just due to, you know, not having a few of the key guys there. I think this could be the week where potentially Walsh and Cripps and, you know, Hewitt and those guys could get them in there.
I like Carlton. Yeah.
I'm Carlton in a close one here.
Yeah, I'm Carlton.
I think down the highway, I'd be more inclined to tip Geelong. But I reckon at the G, Stuart could really hurt.
Freo and the Dogs. So you talked about that 2022 elimination final, Jacko, the two clubs back again. You did a piece yesterday about Fife at the West website about Fife and Bontempelli and the possibility of those two guys going head to head. I went back and had a look at Nat Fife's numbers against the Dogs, and this is obviously old Nat Fife, so I'm not suggesting this is going to happen. Nat Fife and Freo's past four wins against the Bulldogs: 30 touches and a goal, 3 Brownlow votes; 43 touches and a goal, 3 Brownlow votes; 33 touches, 3 Brownlow votes; 30 touches and 3 goals, 3 Brownlow votes. Loves playing the Dogs.
Yeah.
Loves it. And I know he's not that same Nat Fife, et cetera, et cetera.
He was subbed out the last time they met. And since that elimination final, the Dogs did come over here and absolutely smoke them that
night. And got it done.
Last
year. The Rory Lobb night, yeah.
Yeah.
The Rory Lobb night.
It was.
This is Fremantle's season takes a path from here, right?
Yeah.
They lose and the wheels are off. They win, and it's back to, like, the Derby was the anomaly. They're still a final side.
Got to bank this one at home.
Right? They're a bit like Essendon, aren't they? Freo, a little bit?
I think Freo's had one bad game where Essendon's had three.
But just four. In terms of the opinion of the way it can sway so quickly, I think
they're sitting right on the edge.
Yeah.
And I think this week, and they should beat Richmond at the G, but this week and next, their season's going to go one way or another. I think they get this done. I think Fremantle's problem has been handling really quick midfields. So Libba coming back, Libba's like a natural ball hunter. We know what Bont brings, but who's that guy? Who's the Connor Rosie or the Harley Reid that's just going to eat them up in there? Because they've been winning clearance numbers.
Yeah.
It's the post-clearance stuff that they're being lost.
It's not really Treloar or Jack McRae.
I don't think it's the Bulldogs guy.
I do think that, I think from memory, Baileydale's had a few good games against Freo as well. And he was
Bailey Williams as well.
Phenomenal. And then Joe Henderson actually looks like he's playing some decent footy this year too. So I've got the Bulldogs. Sorry,
you're
boys.
I'm taking
the Dogs.
Yeah, you keep me on the case. I'm taking Freo.
I'm taking the Dockers. I like their back line a lot better with Heath Chapman to return as well.
West Coast travel to the Gold Coast to take on the Suns on Sunday. So the news that came out sort of last night was that Harley Reid is unlikely to go.
So boring.
Really flattening for everyone who is looking forward to tuning into this one. We're recording sort of mid-Wednesday morning, so we don't know if Tom Barris is going to be free to play or not. He's just about to front the tribunal as we record this. But with no Harley, no Barris, Suns over there. Does this have the hallmarks of
The Suns in the day are a less dangerous proposition than the Suns at night.
Yeah, the ball not as slippery, sure. I still think they get this done fairly comfortably, though.
Yeah,
I can
see
West Coast just crashing back down to earth a little bit.
They've
had a great couple of weeks.
I'd love West Coast to go and get this done. I genuinely think they will pay the price for resting Harley.
I reckon
it will burst the bubble around their midfield a little bit.
Well, their midfield loses every single bit of dynamic movement.
Not every single bit. Elliot Yeo's been pretty damn.
No, he's been pretty good.
No, but I think he.
I know he's been feeding off.
He's been feeding off each other. So that's why I think they complement each other well. Someone said that Tim Kelly's like a perfect third banana, which he's had to be the number one midfielder for the last couple of years. But I think that's what Tim Kelly's really suited to. And that's what he did at Geelong as well. It's just been that sort of third fiddle in the midfield, which now he has to, not to say he can't step up, but they'll very reliant on Harley Reid being that sort of differentiator.
Yeah.
And I know Harley Reid in there, and I don't know who they're going to go with.
Well, that's going to be the really interesting watch, because Dom Sheed is the name that kind of jumps out as a guy who could get more CBAs if Harley's not playing.
Ruben Jimby as well.
Jimby, yeah, but Jimby's kind of been in that main four-man rotation kind of thing. So the Sheed one, I feel like, is really polarizing for West Coast fans. There are some who think he's the Dom Sheed of old and trust him and his reputation. There are some who don't want him to go anywhere near there. So it's going to be really interesting to see who they chuck in there. Are we all happy with the Suns?
Yeah, Suns by five goals.
Fairly comfortably. And the last game of the round, Hawthorn hosting Sydney, which didn't look particularly watchable until the news broke yesterday that Lance Franklin is doing a big, there's going to be a celebration. I think it's happening at halftime. His two old clubs, which is really great. Neat.
It's very un-Lance Franklin, isn't it?
Very much. And you do get the feeling, obviously don't know Lance from a bar of soap, but you get the feeling he might have had to have his arm twisted to say, hey, Lance, both of you these supporter bases really love you.
It's funny
please
that
come
you
to
did
this.
Say that. It's very un-Lance Franklin. Like, I haven't heard of anything of Lance Franklin since last year, since he retired.
He was in that Kia ad.
He's kind of just gone off the face of the earth a little bit, hasn't he? Like, I know he's always been, he hasn't been a huge social media guy, and that's his go. But you'd even think he would have done a few bit of a podcast tour or a lot of sit down interviews.
He's got an open standing invitation to come on our podcast. Anytime he wants.
Well, it's either me or him, so it depends who you want to pick.
That for a bonus bet.
Yeah, either or. But yeah,
we finally had Buddy today. We already had Jake locked in, so sorry, bud.
I was speaking to Quarters yesterday, who is all knows a lifelong
supporter,
and he was a bit blindly optimistic that Hawthorn could pick Sydney.
Up and about after the destruction of North Melbourne last week.
He's forgotten that Will Day isn't Michael Tuck.
Yes, that is Orle Matthews. Is Luke Parker back?
I don't think
this
don't
week. Think so. Week.
I think he might have been in the. I saw on the AFL website. I think he could be in the mix to make a return, but I'm not sure if that's the go. We saw Taylor Adams play a pretty good game last week. I think the Sydney midfield mix, because they've got a few guys that can go through there. It looks like Heaney's basically, as we've said, and he's leading the coaches' votes. I think in the competition as well. It's going to be too strong for Hawthorn. Hawthorn, like Newcomb and stuff, responded well against North Melbourne last week. I think he had 32 touches. Connor Nash was really good too. But I think Sydney, across the board, they just have too many better players in other positions that Hawthorn would have to play out of their skin to beat Sydney. It's not a Richmond versus Sydney game this time either, I don't think.
Yeah, Sydney comfortably.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some hardball bets.
Hardball bets, brought to you by Tap Touch.
Jacko. You've done
How
it.
Good. Off the mark.
You're off the mark. It's nearly May and you're off the mark.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's good to be a part of Hardball Bets this season.
And that was a nice, because this was before the Derby and we were sitting in the media box together up to stadium. This was an unsweaty cash for you.
Yeah, so it was the overs in the Carlton GWS game. And I think Carlton kicked seven goals, and there were 7-5 at quarter time.
It was going over from a very early point, wasn't it?
We're good here, which was great because I had a lot to stress about. I mean, my team just got smoked in a derby, so I needed that one. I'm thrilled with that, and now my one leg rule is out the window.
Okay. So here comes your 9-leg multi.
I'm 80 cents behind Robbo now, and I am charging.
All right, what do you got for us? You lead us off.
I've got Giants head-to-head over the Lions. I've got Port at the line, which is 20.5, so they'll cover that off against St Kilda on Friday night. Yep. And I've got Sydney head-to-head. It'll get you 4.75, so it's actually not as ludicrous as maybe I sold it to be. But you can bank it, and I'm charging.
You're back.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
I'll be in the black in no time.
I'm going to take Port with the under total, which is 162.5 against St Kilda. I feel like St Kilda, as I said earlier, fairly gassed. Struggling to keep more than 9 or 10 goals in a game this season. Throwing in Gold Coast and Sydney as a Sunday double, that's paying an even $4. Jake, bonus bet?
My bonus bet, I only just lost mine last week, by the way. I did unders for Derby.
For me, I saw.
And it just missed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I saw.
So
nice try.
Story of my year so far. But I've gone two legs this week. I've gone Kane Farrell for 20 at $1.95. St Kilda have leaked to Nick Martin had 40-odd. Bailey Dale had 40-odd. There's something to that. So Kane Farrell for 20. And I've gone North at the line at 28.5. I'm going to back in that they'll either win or not lose by that much. So
that could be a sweaty one.
That is $3.70 combined.
Love it. And remember, chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Boys, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for your time. Thanks also to our listeners. Enjoy your weekend of footy. We'll chat to you next week.